What's up, guys? New episode with Mr. Lance Oppenheim. Mr. Lance Oppenheim, director of the new documentary Sperm World. Fantastic doc. I watched it my damn self. Loved it. You might have heard Lance on but still the old Testament. He came on for his movie Some Kind of Heaven, which is also great. But it does help if you have watched it first. So I don't know, if you haven't, perhaps watch it and then listen, and you might appreciate it more, the podcast. I think you'll still like it if you haven't, but if you have watched it, I do think that you will like this episode more. And I did want to clarify something that we did discuss off pod. The title Sperm World, the similarities to Come Town, Sperm World, Come Town, purely unintentional, purely coincidental, purely happenstance, something he realized later. But look, this doc, it's amazing stuff. It's wild. It's a wild film. And it's at times funny, at times pointed, and at all times beautiful, human. And did want to plug a couple dates. I'm recording this solo in my hotel room in Seattle, Washington, where I'm halfway through an electric run at Laughs Comedy Club. And I'm going to be doing a last minute show in Brooklyn on April 13th, running an hour, maybe bringing some friends, who's to say. And that's at Union Hall, Wilmington, North Carolina, April 19th, April 20th, Dead Crow Comedy Room. May 3rd, oh, what's this? Toronto, Canada, coming back to Toronto, Canada, Comedy Bar on Danforth, Comedy Bar, tickets are up for that, two shows there. And May 24th through 25th, I'm going to be doing a weekend in New Orleans at a junk drawer coffee, sports drink. I don't know. It's fucking, it's online. It's online. And Jamel's going to be at that same venue, at that same exact venue in April. So come out to that if you live in New Orleans. And I think we're adding a Boston date soon. I'm going to be in Boston around the same time frame. We'll post that soon. Hey, watch this space, as they say. Recording this intro by myself does feel insane. And the fact that anybody does podcasts by themselves, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it, but without further ado, please enjoy me and Jamel's conversation with Mr. Lance Oppenheim, Sperm World. Hey, what the fuckers, what the fuck buddies, what the fucking ears. All right, cut that. Brittany, cut that part out. But, use the everything from before that. All right. Well, we're suited and booted. Let's go. Folks, welcome to the Brandon Jamel Show. Today in studio, joining us, the director of Sperm World, a film about the Wild West of sperm donors, friend of the pod, Lance Oppenheim. Welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's nice to be here. You guys, you look great.
Oh,
you look nice.
You ain't even have to say that. Thanks for doing it, though.
Hey,
this Nike shirt is a Kohl's level Nike shirt.
So I if you're behind the paywall, you did hear about the sublease incident involving a landlord and his adult son threatening to beat my ass and call the cops. And this was after I went to the New York premiere of Sperm World. And you can, you know, get all, you'll get all the details behind the paywall. It's a long saga that is ongoing, but it's not
this
about
this is like
that
the
right
final
now.
Part. Yeah, this is like yeah. the final part.
Yeah. But just watch Sperm World, and you can watch it this Friday on FX and Hulu. And it's a wild movie. It's funny at times, poignant. It's deeply human. And it's a beautiful film.
Hey, and, thank you. Wow. Can I take that? I should take like a pull quote of that, and I should put it on your landlord, your previous landlord's door. I should just put a yeah. little poster, you know.
He was deeply human. You heard that? You hear that?
The man you just kicked out has the capacity for writing and saying beautiful things. So maybe he should reconsider, you know, getting.
I know
back
he has.
In.
He has no idea. He didn't take the time to get to know me. Is the thing. I think that's the central issue here. But yeah, it is. This is a movie that I guess it's about the Facebook group. Sperm Donors USA, right? Is that the name of the Facebook group?
Yeah. There's a few in the movie, but Sperm Donation USA, and then there's some other posts, other stories that come out of USA Sperm Donation, which is actually like a competing group, which has no affiliation to USA Sperm Donation. It's it's interesting. There's a lot of politics involved.
It's like The Source in XXL. Mm-hmm. I see. It's very similar, but quite different.
There's a lot of indie sperm donation Facebook group world. I feel like there might be some beef.
Yes.
Don't say it like it's a rock band.
Yeah, I love that. It's like a indie music, indie sperm donation. That's the way it should be.
It is indie. It's DIY. This is the DIY scene.
DIY sperm. Yeah, no, you're right. Well, you know, because
a lot of house shows.
Lots of shows. Lots of yeah. Lot, there's some acts. You know, you should start. You guys can go in there and start promoting your show in there. But no, I mean, it used to be that people would be. I think the Facebook group thing started. It came out of people trying to advertise their sperm on Craigslist, and I think for a short while that actually happened. There were a few people I met that were like Craigslist OG Craigslist sperm donors, and then that I think was banned from Craigslist. And then for the last, I think like five, maybe a little bit more, five-ish years, there's this kind of sprout of all of these different free sperm donation groups where these guys are, you know, kind of, there's a lot of different people, a lot of different personalities, but the people in the film and the people that I became really close with, it's men and women who are kind of looking for meaning, in both cases, a lot of them maybe they've tried to have children in different ways. The women who are there, they've tried going to sperm banks, but maybe it was too expensive or it didn't work out for one reason or another. And so they find themselves in these groups where these guys are just, very eager to give their sperm away for free. And, yes. They sometimes have sex. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes it's in a cup. Sometimes it's in like this abandoned parking lot. And sometimes too eager. Yes.
Sometimes a little too eager. I think it's safe to say in the case of one of the. I do want to talk Ari, I guess, off rip. I feel like that's. I feel like we should start with Ari and then sort of go from there.
That's your man now, right? You met him at the premiere. Because you guys were like friends.
I did meet the man, and it is. I guess. Lance, do you want to explain Ari for those who have not seen this doc yet?
Yeah. So one of the sperm donors in the movie, the movie follows like three, four storylines where you have you're following a sperm donor and then you follow the recipient that they're giving their sperm to. One of the donors in the movie is this guy, Ari Nagel. And in some ways, he's really like the godfather of DIY sperm donation. He has like 170 children now.
Seems like the government should have put a cap on that.
Yeah,
I don't know how you could track it, but
how many did he have when you made the movie?
We started when we started making the movie like 2.5 years ago, and we started following him around. It was 130. So the number has shot up in that time,
which he was bragging about immediately upon me meeting the guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, it's way more now.
He's an interesting. He's a fascinating guy. He's we meet him in the movie. It's sort of like. He's like, when we met him, he was like, I'm going to stop doing this because, this was sort of a fun thing at first. It was sort of a hobby and it's always sort of a way to help people. And then now I'm just like, there's so many children I have. It's like, it's kind of become something that's hurting my lifestyle, hurting my relationship with my mother, and hurting a lot of just the ability to lead maybe a more stable life. And as you've seen the movie, the thing that ends up becoming crazy, the first thing I learned about him is that he, because I met him at the Turkish Russian Baths in the East Village in New York.
Great place. This is before this, the doc was in progress.
No, the doc was in progress, and I love that place, and I know that I knew that Ari loved that place too, because it turns out that the one of the owners, Dimitri, he's the son of David. You know, it's run by two warring families. That place, Boris and David, the Russians and the Turkish, or vice versa. And Ari used to date, I think, Dimitri's sister-in-law or something. You know, Ari's like one of those guys. He reminds me of like a character out of like a Safdie's movie. He's sort of like a New York fixture, you know. He walks down the street, he knows like 10 people. Maybe he's related to one of them, or maybe he dated one of them in high school when he was in the Bronx. And so anyway, long story short, I met him there, and he told me the first thing that I thought that could be interesting, you know, and cinematic as one of the storylines was that he, you know, he's been sued so many times for child support that he doesn't have a home anymore. And he teaches, you know, math at Kingsborough Community College in Brighton Beach. So he has like a steady paycheck. But yet now he every night he sleeps at a different child's home. And it's sort of this like roving, it's like Warren Beatty and Shampoo. You know, it's like he's this dude who just like is fucking absolutely...
He's turned his nut into a timeshare.
Yeah, he has. And, you know, it's not for lack of like, you know, he does love his, my opinion, every time I make a movie about somebody and I get really close to someone, I get really, I don't know, it's like even in real life, it's like you're when you become intimate with someone and you see someone at their most vulnerable place, it's hard not to love them. And so I love this guy so much. And I know I know he really loves his children. It's just that he, it's like how do you handle 170 kids? Like he goes,
There's 365 days in a year.
Yes, exactly.
I'm crunching the numbers. It's not looking great.
It's not adding up. So the amount of love he wants, you know, as much as he would love to be a father and he considers himself a father to each child, it is very confusing to be, you know, a kid, you know, the kid of his when he's basically, you know, an absentee father all the time.
Yeah, he is this like nut nomad, I guess we could say. you said they call him the Sperminator.
Yes,
this is
New York Post like that's, called him that a long time ago. I think the first time he really blew up was because he donated to a homeless woman. You know, he has no limits in terms of anytime. It's like his life, his movie is like the Yes Man movie. It's like if someone asks him for his sperm, he will say yes. There's no like there's no way in which he wouldn't. And I don't even think at this point it's something he really pursues. It's not like he advertises himself. At this point, it's just people coming to him. He's, I think, a pretty handsome Jewish man, you know?
Right.
And it's not, he's interesting. Interesting.
And this
guy
is not, these babies are not just on domestic soil. It is international. Jamel, you mentioned that perhaps we should put a cap on this. Israel has. This guy is now banned from donating sperm in Israel.
Yes.
Yeah, like he donated too much of it. And
well, that's one solid move by them.
This is like, yeah. So I guess, you know, that's we can give them that.
I'll give you that. I'm gonna tip my one cap to you for that one.
Yeah, but, yeah. He's it's an interesting thing because, you know, at some point it's sort of, yeah, it's like at what morally, ethically, legally, you know. I think like the subject matter of the film, I think when you see someone like him, a lot of people have really strong opinions about what he does, yeah, if he shouldn't be doing it.
I mean, I certainly did as a viewer that was not, you know, I wasn't filming this guy for 2 years. Like I didn't, you know, I had no skin in the game as a passive observer. I was certainly, you know, judgmental of this man's lifestyle. I was definitely like, this doesn't feel great ethically.
And his homeboy too. I was judgmental of both.
Oh yeah. Oh, his man. His man?
Oh yeah, his notary, his best friend from childhood is his notary, and he's he helps him deal with all the international children. He's trying to help get passports for. But you know, it's an interesting thing. It's like, you know, when you make a movie about. You know, look, this guy's life is just, it's like, it's filled of comic misery. Like the way he looks at his life is like, he sees it like this, you know, he's in this kind of merry-go-round that never stops. And so for me, it's always a question of like, I try not to be a judgmental person, you know, and of course, you know, we're all human
you
beings,
can't
so
be
it's impossible
in your documentarian, right?
Well, you can be, you know, most people I feel like pretend they aren't, and then, you know, they make judgmental right. movies. And to me, it's like this movie is more about like, I don't know, I, you know, you're seeing such intense extreme versions of people trying to figure out their lives by making children. It's kind of this desire, this fantasy, like, oh, if I do it, and, you know, or like in Ari's case, if I help this one person, another woman's life by doing this, like maybe it will make me feel differently about myself, or maybe it will change, you know, the way I feel about how I see myself. And he's dealing with a lot of rejection from his own mother and stuff like that. But, you know, it's to me, it's less of this binary, you know, but I think inevitably that's sort of the thing. And I watch movies. It's like, how do you feel about someone? Do you like them or do you not? It's less for me about like, is this fucked up or is it not? It's more about right. like, this is happening, you know, even if yeah. the camera wasn't there, it's happening. And the thing that I want to do more of is like, I want not only to just observe somebody, like what they're doing or their routine or how this guy goes from place to place, but I want to like inhabit this sort of, the mental space. Like I want the camera and I want all of the shit that I'm trying to do as a filmmaker to really like, you know, just basically create this terrarium, this like you're inside of a sperm cup, you know, and you're in the way the movie shot, it's almost like there's like jizz on the lens, you know what I mean? That's sort of the design. And I want it to feel like you're inside this guy's brain, and the music that you're hearing is accenting, sort of accentuating the ways this guy feels about a scene in his life. Like certainly he feels sad sometimes, but for the most part it's a very joyful existence he leads. It's like a comedy, you know, for him. That's his life.
I did not expect to meet him, right? So that was what I was what I was kind of setting up here is like, I'm watching the doc and I'm like, all right, this guy's you know, this guy seems like this isn't a morally righteous life, and he seems addicted to donating sperm in a way that is, you know, perhaps, yeah, bad for, you know, everyone around him.
At least questionable.
Right? But then I meet the guy, like, 2 minutes after the movie ends, and I'm like, immediately charmed. Immediately, I'm like, I get it.
He's ready
to
have a baby with
him
5 minutes after the movie.
He is, like, incredibly charismatic.
Oh yeah,
he is like a handsome, charismatic guy, and immediately, like, you know, I met his eldest son.
Yeah, he brought his whole family to see it. I mean, you know,
he brought some big trunks of the tree.
He's brought, yeah, I mean, he's seen it a few times. I mean, that's the thing that's interesting about him. And I honestly think, like, most of the people in the movie is there's, you know, it's always like when you make a film about someone and it's, you know, a little, it's unsparing, you know, and it's not like, right. You know, everyone's uncensored. It's not like there's a degree to which I'm not editing the movie or shooting the movie to make anyone look bad. That's like the, you know, it's like the easiest thing a filmmaker can do is like, you know, make someone look foolish. So I'm always trying to be like, how do I don't want to do that, but I also want to show people's lives and the complexity of it. And it's interesting. I mean, you know, I've always thought the movie was really funny. And I think like when we were making it, we always were laughing and Ari was laughing and Steve and Rachel, who are in the movie, a different, you know, set of characters, they're laughing and Tyree and Natasha were laughing. So it was an interesting thing watching the movie with everybody because I showed it to them before, you know, we finished it. And then I, you know, and it went out into the world. And they all, you know, they were fucking dying. You know, they were laughing their asses off watching it. And so that, it was kind of this beautiful experience. I don't know why that is. If it's sort of like, maybe it's because we made it in this sort of way where it's like, they know that, you know, there was no surprises of what would be in the film because every image is like really, you know, we take a lot of time and there's a lot of craft involved to sort of get these real moments, but also, you know, shoot them in this really heightened way. But I don't know. I mean, it's amazing. It's like Ari, the first time he saw it, he brought his two youngest nieces with him and he introduced me to one of them as his girlfriend. And at first I was like, oh, wow, great. You know, congratulations. And he's like, no, I'm just fucking with you, man. It's my niece. And I was like, what is this? Like, what is this?
That's not this a joke.
Crazy joke.
Wait, like a teenager? This is a teenager.
This is like a 19-year-old woman. And then, you know, it's like you bring your nieces and there's scenes in the movie where you're listening to him like huff and puff as he's trying to, you know, procure his sperm sample. So I'm just like, right. You know, what is the... and he was just fucking lot. I mean, that's the thing about him. That's honestly, to me, very inspiring that this man thrives off of uncomfortable situations. And ultimately, I do think he has a good heart and like a good head. And his he's not like a sociopath. Like he's a really empathetic person.
I read him as a sociopath just watching the movie. You know, the first time.
Well, what my take is, he would just, he must be good because if he wasn't, this person would be a serial killer. He would have killed 170 right. people instead of made 170 people.
Yeah.
Well, I think where he's at right now is it's sort of like, it's an interesting thing. I mean, I don't have a child. And honestly, like through the process of making the movie, everyone involved in it, you know, I feel like doesn't want to have children anymore except for me. Like I'm the only one who's like, oh, fuck, I'm ready, I think, more or less in my life to do it. But I think it's like I got secondhand high, you know, from the experience of seeing this like euphoric state. It's almost like, imagine, you know, I'm sure you guys watch pornography, you know, I you know, of course I do too.
I'm
sometimes
familiar.
Right, it's like the post nut clarity, you know, it's like the feeling, yes. You know, it I guess it's sort of it's not a real word, right, or phrase, because there is no clarity you get after that. It's you just feel terrible. It's like post nut disparity. You feel despair. Mm-hmm. Once it happens, these guys have
post-nut dysphoria.
These, you know, imagine a life where you
that's
only
why
feel
I stopped jerking off the McDonald's characters. Now I don't feel despair anymore. Now I feel good.
Now
but
you
I
feel
know
great.
What you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean these guys have found a way to basically every time they masturbate, they are thanked profusely for doing that. And so I think in a way it's like the lowest impact form of creating such a massive revelation of an experience for somebody. And I think that's probably what happened to him. You know, it's like, I think it's like this, it is an addiction. I think it's this chemical balance that he's imbalance. He's trying to sort of correct for when he's not donating. But that's really, you know, to me, that's what like the movie is about in a lot of ways. It's a lot of my favorite movies. You ever see Bringing Out the Dead, the Scorsese movie with Nick Cage? It's like so fucking good. Cage plays an ambulance EMT guy, and he's just like, he hasn't saved someone's life in a long time, and so he's just going nuts, and he like needs it, like selfishly. It's not even about helping somebody. It's just like, I need it. It's like a drug. He's like, I need to fucking save somebody. And it's the same thing here. It's like this That psychological state of like feeling like you're you have a God complex, you're a savior, you've made someone's life, and you have, you know, you've changed someone's life maybe for the better.
Right.
But then also it's like, yeah, your entire lifestyle and your experience is just living moment to moment about who am I going to get pregnant. It's like a totally unrelatable, well, like
your
idea.
Your whole life's meaning, I guess, becomes just creating lives. And if you stop, it feels like, you know, you spin out.
Totally.
Right? Like,
yeah.
I can't imagine. Like, I guess it's like, you know, in theory, it would be nice for Ari to hang up the donor hat, right? But I don't know if that's possible. I don't know if that's like psychologically possible.
I don't know.
I've been
either.
Going through the same thing with throwback jerseys. I keep buying them. I don't even like the new ones, but I can't stop.
By the way, I have been getting sperm bank donor ads for like the past few months.
Wow.
Wait,
it's just,
before
it's shit like this.
Before the movie?
No, way before I watched this. Look at that.
Oh my God.
These are the ads that Instagram is giving me.
They invoke King of Queens?
Yeah, sperm bank donors. It's that photo of Kevin James like smirking.
Wow.
And it says her, wow, how'd you pay for those festival ticks? Me secretly knowing I get paid up to $1,500 as a sperm donor. And this Kevin James making a face. So that's how it is being marked. Yeah, look at this. This is another one from the same company that just got paid $1,500 for donating sperm feeling. And it's like a gif of Bill Hader dancing. So that's
wow,
how it is.
Wow.
That's how it's being marketed. You know, that's how the banks are marketing it. Yeah, this one, sperm bank donors has really been targeting me a lot.
I'm sorry,
hey,
man.
Kang,
that's only going to come at you more. Well, you know, it's interesting.
You could
maybe
making
it's
up
saw
to
the reels.
It's yeah. looking
they
at your bank account,
reels.
Man, and it's like Brandon could use $1,500 for the basketball
yeah, Jesus
tickets
Christ.
Or something. Well, that's interesting. You know, I mean, that's the thing. It's like I mean, I've never donated sperm before. You know, I was thinking like if the movie doesn't perform well or something, maybe as a viral marketing stunt, I'll have to give my sperm away or something. But I probably wouldn't do that. You know, but it's interesting. You know, the experience of getting paid for it versus not.
Oh yeah.
And that's really, I think, the other part of it. It's like
you had samples at the premiere.
Yes.
You had like
yeah.
little. They were passing out Lance's nut samples.
Yes.
Little nuts. Oh yeah. Man.
Well, this is crazy. You know, I was thinking like I did suggest to the FX who you know let me make the film. I was saying that we should make like custom cocktails, and I did find if you Google on Amazon, I looked it up as a joke, and it's real. There's a bartender. It's called this Semenology, a sperm bartender's handbook, and it's a bunch of cocktails with that I guess use sperm in them.
Need a little shooter, little chasers.
Yeah, and then
oh,
this
like
guy
have...
also has another book called Natural oh, wow. Harvest, and that's another one where you can it's food with you know there's a really nasty cover of cake with you know the goods
iced,
sprinkled
they iced
on it.
It.
Yeah,
oh, man. Yeah.
Anyway, the idea was shot down. You know, instead, I guess everyone just got like a Moscow Mule or whatever. You know, that night.
Decided to play it safe, huh?
Yeah.
Cowards.
On a side note, do y'all have any friends who like don't eat mayo because they think it looks like nut? Like
no.
I have multiple friends in my life who are like, nah, I don't want to get that off my sandwich.
Wait, wow, really? That's really? Like that's
their
real, that's
their
really,
logic is they think it looks like cum. And
that's
I'm like,
very
it's, I,
that's very toxic.
Well, what kind of cum are they dealing with? I feel like
yeah, exactly.
That's like
your cum
the,
is toxic
yeah.
if it's that solid
also,
white.
Also, yeah, cum doesn't even look like... Cum looks like... There's a lot of skincare products that look like cum.
Yeah, cum looks like skim milk.
Yeah,
yeah. That's why I don't
yes.
drink skim milk, because it actually looks
mayo
like
mayo doesn't
cum.
Even look
that's
like
that's the only
cum.
Reason
that's
why
crazy.
I drink skim milk, man. No, it reminds that's me you. Of my film, Sperm World. Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. Well, maybe your friend should go to the doctor or something if that's what their
yeah, I guess that's really
like, you know?
That's out of
I
control.
Have I need to be reading between the lines. My friend has alarmingly white nut.
Yeah, Isn't it crazy though? I mean, this is the thing that happened to me while making the film. As I just like, you know, it's wild, literally. You know, there's I don't remember the exact science of this, but there's like, you know, there anytime you have a you know, sperm, you know, you whatever, you masturbate, you do whatever you're doing, and then you're looking at the, you know, the thing, there's children that could potentially live inside of that. It's like, it's a fascinating, you know, it's like you start zooming out a little bit and you're just like, this is now there's another thing that kind of happened in the movie.
You started,
it's like
living in a sperm world of your own.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's something so mundane. It's like, it's so interesting. It's in, I've been in so many, you know, very strange encounters with these people making the film, and you know, I'm very they put a lot of trust in me. You know, I was in rooms where people were watching pornography, and then we'd have to kind of figure out a way to shoot this tastefully, and then we'd leave, and the guy would, you know, masturbate and get the job done. But you know, there's just something so funny about that. It's like there's the most mundane thing, someone watching porn and jerking off, and then it leads to this like magical, like you know, life coming through. You know, a guy watching like
old and young
porno or something. You know,
I see
mean?
What you're saying. The only way you can get it is by showing him a vintage scene of Janet Jackme.
Yes,
that's the only way that this baby will come to the world is if he sees the right angle, and it also has to be the right angle. He also has to fast forward through the first 15 minutes of head.
Yes,
before Listen, has you this, can has get this to the- impacted your personal relationship with jacking off? Where well, like every time you watch porn and you waste this life, you waste this potential life.
Well, you know, I definitely am more aware of the potential life, that, you know, and the choice to throw it away. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, that's why I think that's what happens with Ari and a lot of them, and Steve and Tyree, the men in the film. It's sort of like, I think for Ari, it's sort of a reason why he probably can't be in a relationship, because his libido is so low, you know, for one.
Right.
And two, it's sort of like if he's not having children, then it's like this thing. It's like, you know, Spider-Man 2, when he can't shoot the webs out of his arms anymore, right?
Right.
And then he like, you remember that scene where he's like, he throws away the suits, right? And then he's just like, he sees the ambulance, you know, and the police cars. And he's just like, he like does the thing where he like tries to look and like take his suit out, but he's not wearing it anymore. It's that. It's like this superhero complex where he's like, if I'm not using my powers for good use, then what am I on this planet for? You know, and it's interesting. And then there's the women in the film who are like, you know, much, you know, that the stories are, yes, are much more, kind of poignant and intense. It kind of balances out the absurdity maybe of just, of, you know, these situations. I think that was the other thing that just was like, for me, I wanted to make the movie because I was like, you have pretty normal, you know, very normal people, normal women, you know, they're here,
right,
maybe by choice. Some of them, most of them I'd say are probably there because it, you know, it just didn't happen for, you know, maybe the more like quote unquote traditional way. Right. And then they're forced to be with these guys who are basically, very strange, you know, and very they maybe would never meet otherwise.
Yeah, it does feel like the heart of the movie definitely comes from the women, for sure. You know, and I guess one third of the guys. I don't know. I mean, it's there's heart involved with all of the
I will,
you know,
say,
but the bulk of the heart is the women.
Of all of the characters I relate to in the movie, the top two are the woman at the beginning in the Arizona Cardinals hat and Tyree Kelly. I mean, come on, guys.
Oh, yes.
I'm like two chess moves away from being Tyree Kelly. I totally could have been him. I went to school with probably 15 dudes.
Oh, yeah. Wow. You know, like that. You know some Tyree Kellys for sure.
Yeah. Woodbridge, wow, Virginia is like the suburbs of Arizona. In there is some similarities.
Man, yes, I wish you guys could meet each other. Tyree's, yeah, he's that guy. He's fucking hilarious. Like he's I mean, I feel like we were cut on the same cloth of things we consumed as kids, you know. And he's like our age, basically. He looks a little older, but
yeah, like Tyree Kelly is a black gamer.
Yes, he's a gamer. Yeah, I love that scene where he's a backup ho when he's shooting the Call of Duty stuff. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, he's an interesting guy. I mean, he grew up watching, like, South Park and, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, there's stuff that he watches that I don't watch. Like, when we're eating lunch, you know, after we're shooting some stuff, he'd put on his TV screen, like, car crash compilations that were, like,
oh, yeah,
just
okay,
very,
he feels like a guy graphic. That was, like, watching, like, Homestar Runner.
What, like, is that? What's Homestar Runner?
Homestar
Runner. Oh, you probably saw it. Strong Bad? Yeah. The little cartoon wrestler dude?
Oh, okay. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, you know that fool.
Yeah.
Craig Zobel created Homestar Runner. That's not right. Is that right? You know that guy? He made the movie Compliance and Z for Zachariah. There's no way.
No way.
That's what my Google is
telling me. That's got to be a different guy.
No, he did. Look at that.
Whoa, what?
He'd have been involved.
Co-creator of Homestar Runner. Damn. Oh, I mean, look at that.
Goddamn, good for him.
Yeah, that's interesting. Wow. What did you relate to with Tyree? What was the thing that the gaming aspects?
Well, sure. Listen, the gaming aspects, the what am I going to do? Just like feeling like I have to sell cum now. Like, I don't know. Like, I could just see, I don't know, man. It's like where he is in this movie definitely made me feel like where I was after high school, just in terms of like, oh shit, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Which
just feeling like
kind of is like getting out of jail. Like,
two sideways months away from being tired.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes that's interesting, man. I mean, yeah. The thing that's interesting about him is like that relationship is that was the thing that kind of drew me to him, was just like you're engaged and yet you're doing the sperm stuff. You know, he's partially doing it for money, but he's also doing it because I think he has like a this sort of idea of himself. He got into trouble when he was younger and he's like, I'm not that guy. I'm a good person. And so like I want to be around people that are constantly telling me I'm a good person, so it can reinforce the person I know I am. So he's very complex. He's got a lot of things going on psychologically. There's so much more, you know, that is going on that's not even in the movie. And I think Atasha, his fiance, I mean, she's just like the most patient. I mean, I think there were moments where I was just like kind of, I was equal parts just like, you know, I hope that you're okay, you know, and I hope you feel, you know, good in this relationship. And who am I to say, like, leave, you know, because I'm just some observer, some third party. I'm never going to say that. But, you know, over time, I did really see there's this very, like, kind of beautiful love they have for each other. And it's interesting to see that. And I don't know if you guys are in relationships, but it's like they really made a choice. And we'll see, you know, look, life changes and things happen all the time. In some ways, it's like in my first movie I made, the Some Kind of Heaven, the Villages movie, there was another relationship that had a version of this. It was like Anne and Reggie.
Those that haven't seen Some Kind of Heaven, it's a movie about the Villages. It's a retirement community in Florida. Also, fucking great movie. Watch that as well. And then you went back. You said, doing the old person movie, now I'm going back to now fetus.
I'm gonna go even deeper back in time. Yeah, exactly. It all comes back to
go
life.
To the other end of the spectrum. So yeah, what were you saying about that?
No, yeah, you know, there's a couple.
And they kind of reminded of a man and Reggie.
Yeah, Anne and Reggie. Yeah, you know, there's some. You know, it's another relationship. It's a guy who's kind of addicted to. You know, he's not having the best time of his life and everyone around him is. This is Reggie in this retirement community. So he starts experimenting with like psychedelics and acid and mushrooms. And his wife is not really about that life. And she's more into pickleball and kind of assimilating like everyone else has done in that community. And so it ends up, it's chill for a while. And then it ends up becoming like there's a pressure point in the relationship and you know, she really has to take care of him and it's another relationship of, you know, a sacrifice that you're watching.
Wait,
you're watching someone.
Is this the guy that, he was taking that one drug?
Yeah. Yeah. He just got in trouble a little bit ago. He was in the news again for like, selling Viagra and, you know,
okay.
It was,
he was, We talked about this on, Rafe, on the old podcast. Rafe. Yeah.
Yes.
He was, yeah. Jamel, you don't know about this. This guy was hitting a drug called, it's spelled R-A-P-E accent mark.
Yeah, and he sent me the message. He sent me a message that didn't have the accent mark in it, and so I was like, he was like, "Do you want to go to the pool and film me doing some rape?" Is what he meant to say.
Yeah, hey, was, hold on.
Yeah,
hold on, big dog.
It was pretty, you know. And I was like, I was honestly terrified. I showed up because I was like, I don't know what he's gonna do. To me, you know, but, and you know, he ended up, he's a very sweet, sweet guy. He didn't do anything that crazy. I mean, he hit his pipe, you know, and then he did a bunch of Tai Chi in the pool. But, yeah, man, you know, it's interesting. All these movies are kind of, you know, it's funny. I'm sure you guys have similar relationships when you're making stuff. I feel like all of it now, I'm just realizing it's like all of them are kind of about, it's like legacy or something, or just like what people do to make, to try and not feel, you know, shitty about themselves and not feel alone in life. And so they fixate on these fantasies, you know, worlds they can create. And so with this, it's like the fantasy of family and trying to have that or create it. And if you don't have a good relationship with your nuclear, you know, family, your parents, your whatever, you can create your own version of it in a lot of untraditional ways. And the Villages one was more about like, you know, everyone dreaming of, they've worked to this point in their lives where now they're like, my last 10, 15 years, fuck it. I'm going to do whatever I want.
Right.
And then, you know, inevitably it's like, you can't outrun these things. And then I have another thing coming out, Renfair, which is like a different version of it. But, you know, I look at this shit in my own life now and I'm just like, fuck, you know, I realize that it's like, you finish a project, you finish a movie, you finish something. It's like you pour yourself into it. And you know, I realize it's like, oh yeah, I remember why I do this. Cause I feel nothing, you know, I feel like a worthless human when I'm not making something. I'm not focused on like a extension of myself somehow.
Right. Well, thank God that's your that's your thing.
Hey, real shit.
Having fucking 200 kids. Thank God.
Yeah,
it's,
making beautiful movies is better than having 200 kids in terms of validation. I will say.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, your podcast, you know, that must be nice. You guys get to. It's like an instant gratification, right? I don't know if you do. Do you edit this, or you don't? You don't really edit it. Just,
you know,
we do this to avoid the feds. We doing this to beat the tax evasion charges. Basically, that's what we up to.
I guess meeting Ari. By the way, I did just remember what like. Like immediately, like he's talking to our friend Annie, Annie Wikipedia, Depths of Wikipedia, who's special thanked in the credits on this one, and she was chatting him up, and he was in the middle of talking about how he has like kids in Africa, and you know, I forget where else, but he was rattling it off, and. I asked him, did you like go there? Or does it get shipped? And he was like, no, my dick's long enough that,
wow,
my dick's long enough that I just,
Superman dick. It went around the earth.
He hit me with one of those, which is, nice. You know, that's funny. It was a funny quip. I was immediately like, all right, yeah, I'm charmed.
He says shit all the time. It's fascinating. That's why I'm also like, it's sort of inspiring socially to see someone do this. He says like the most off-putting thing you can think of to like when he immediately enters a conversation, and it's almost a test for like how charming can he be to basically save like, you know, you just from walking away or like slapping.
Right.
And I've seen it in countless situations, and I've seen him in like, really, you know, people just screaming at him or wanting to just, you know, just destroy him psychologically or emotionally, or his mother who was very upset with him, or, you know, moms who he claimed he would
could
make
have
all these
just
promises.
Gotten into stand-up comedy. I wonder if 1,000 sets would have also given him the same.
There's definitely a lot of Ari types at open mics, which is not, that wasn't me being, that was not, that was, that I didn't mean
Wait.
that. I didn't mean that in a
Please
I didn't
elaborate
mean it in that way.
Yeah, no, he's
I didn't
got
mean
a,
it in that way. I meant personality.
What do you mean, man? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Other comics who have 160 kids, 70 kids. No,
remember
he's got
in the movies.
It's stressful. I mean, it's a stressful existence he leads, but he leads it with no stress. That's the thing. It's like
unshakable.
Yeah. Sorry, Jamil, you were.
What are the odds? Well, I was going to ask, what are the odds of him having a kid that makes it to the NBA? Remember when he was talking about he was using his kids in a math lesson? Was he doing a lot of
that? Was crazy. I was gonna mention that. That was fucking insane.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, it's like, again, you see it a few times in the movie. Like, he's sort of a boundaryless person. And so, like, even in his professional life, he can't keep that life separate. It's like it always pours into one another. And you see it again in the movie. There's the scene with him. He's having a birthday party, and he invites as many children as possible to be there. And he ends up spending more time, you know, getting the women end up showing up and asking him for a donation. And so he ends up spending more time in the bathroom, really, than he does with his children. And so it's this like and I think that's like one of the moments he's looking at himself in the mirror. And I remember thinking like he's not acting or performing really here. Like this is like someone who's stuck in this circular loop and he. You know, it's unclear if he really wants to get off the kind of merry-go-round, but you could tell that he's just completely depleted and exhausted.
Yeah, this is one of the more memorable scenes in the film where he's like walking over a bunch of his kids, walking through like wading through like fucking I don't know how many like dozens of his kids. Going into the bathroom to create another.
Yes.
And he really, you know.
Yeah, it's
crazy.
It's crazy to
stress
film
it
that.
Enough how,
yeah.
how much he cannot stop. No, yeah, what was so yeah, I mean that was what was that like filming that?
I mean, man, look, every moment with him was insanely memorable. I mean, the challenge with him, which is interesting, is you know, he's been around for a long time. And that was sort of my hesitation initially with like, how can I do something different here? Can
right,
I make something new?
I didn't know that he had been, there's like two documentaries that he's.
Yeah, there's like a New York Post did like a documentary on him a few years ago. It's like for the web. And then there's an Israeli documentary that was made about him, which I also haven't seen just because I was like,
well,
I don't want to.
Well, that might have just been a PSA. Like, please do not.
No, I think
man.
it's he's very proud of the film, and those filmmakers seem like nice people. So I think, you know, he's been in a lot of things, and there's been a lot of coverage on him. And I think the way he works, like you guys are saying, it's like he almost works in the like the what's type five? Is that what it is when you're doing a stand up set? Like he comes in and he has like these quips, and I've seen him use them the same. It's like he's on a press tour of his life, and he just says the same things over and over again to different people just to see what kind of reaction he'll get. And so the challenge sorry, go on.
Oh no, go ahead.
Hey man, you go ahead. You go ahead.
No, you go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Well,
no.
I'm gonna go ahead because I realize. I think we all got a little, me and Brandon both got a little Tyree Kelly in us. Like, because I am black and overweight and the most likely to sell my fluid for money, that's me. But I feel like Brandon has that, like, just unfortunate event angle of Tyree. Didn't he? He said he got charged with child endangerment
because
he was defending himself from a teen.
Yeah.
Like, some his kid was trying to fight him and he had to, like, hold up a garbage lid?
Yeah, I mean, no, it was,
you know,
it was, that was a tough thing, you know. I mean, basically, it seems like what had happened from what, you know, he had told me and what we, you know, read online through the court documents and stuff. I mean, he was in a relationship he was married to a woman who was in apparently her 40s, and he was like in his early 20s. And I think they had some sort of argument about something. And he had a stepchild, her son, who was like, I think in his teens. And so the age difference wasn't that vast. I think that was sort of the issue. Like, I think he was, Tyree was in his early 20s, and this kid was probably, I think, like 14 or 15. There was like a 5-year age difference. And apparently the kid, you know, came at, this is what Tyree says, it was self-defense. The kid attacked him and, you know, he defended himself. And then, he went to prison for, I think, like, at least a year. Yeah. And so, you know, he came out of it. And I think, you know, if you look at the charge without the specifics, you know, again, I'm sure there's so many sides to every story, but it's not like he has had a serial problem of doing this. So, you know, and I've known him well enough to say, you know, I think I don't doubt that this was a complicated situation. And so anyway, he's dealing with his life where he's basically like, don't look at me like I'm a monster because of this. Like, this was a fucked up situation, and I'm not that guy. But, you know, on paper, I am that guy. And so I think it's limited, even like the amount of things he can do his professionally and financially. And so I think, you know, he started a new chapter of his life, and that's what sperm donating is in a way to him. It's almost this sort of like this way out, you know, some people know about that. Yeah, you know, but, you know, some people don't. And so it's like and even if they did know about it, some people don't really care about that. And so it's this kind of like he's been absolved of this. At least that's the way I think he sort of sees some of it. And so that's what's difficult, because he's in a relationship with someone who knows about it and she's fine with that. But it's like the more times it doesn't happen for them at home and she's trying to get pregnant, the more times he seeks, you know, the enjoyment of people who want to be with him and tell him how great he is, you know.
Right.
One last thing I'll say.
Yes.
I don't think people realize how susceptible young black men are to dangerous cougars. That's kind of a problem in our community. A lot of black guys in their early 20s get mixed up with dangerous cougars in these little towns. Listen, it's whole seasons of Snap based off this.
Yeah. I mean, he said that she would buy him a lot of stuff and kind of take him around, and he'd always say
it's real easy.
Like,
it don't take much. Two trips to Chick-fil-A, a short set. It doesn't take much. And then you see what happens.
Yeah. Damn. Well, you know, yeah. I mean, look, it was a whole experience, man. You know, it's like every time, you know, the last, like, I started shooting this movie at the end of 2020. That's when that opening sequence between the two people in the motel room is there. And so it's like, you know, a lot. I mean, we shot maybe like close to 100 days of this. And then my other project that is coming out on HBO later this summer, also 100 days. So it's like, For basically like 3.5 years or so, I was moving from I'd go from one shoot to the other. It was like Renaissance Festival and jizz, you know, and it was like my dreams, my whole being, my body type. I mean, I was like a really scrawny guy before this, and somehow I turned into, I have like the physique of a rugby player now. I don't know how this even happened. It's because I ate so much Taco Bell or something. It changed me. Somehow.
God damn. Wait, I didn't mean to I didn't mean to cut you off earlier. The Zoom got crazy. You know, voices got, you know, whatever. But we were talking about Ari, who I was very disappointed that he was not at the, like, he was there, but he wasn't at the Q&A. You've got a bunch of fucking executive producers up there. I'm like, why don't we have the, we've got the sub,
you
one of the subjects
why.
Right
Ari,
here.
Ari can't do
I
the
mean,
Q&A,
no,
man.
No, I know. It's a liability.
You know, they have the star. I know. It's, the movie. Oh, no, I know, like, you better believe, man, I was pushing for it. You know, yeah, I think it's interesting. I think, look, it's like the when you make a movie like this and the other movies I've made, it's like it really is it's all done very collaboratively, right? And like I don't think we would have been able to achieve like the kind of images and the sort of cohesion, like the subjectivity, if it wasn't. And so it's, you know, but I think for people like FX, which is owned by Disney, and you know, they you know, it's these people to me are like, they're like family, but to them, they don't really know them that well. And I think they haven't gone through, like, I think if FX probably did it, they would want to get them media trained or something.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting, man. It's like it's
trained guy.
Yeah, it's an interesting, you know, already someone who's done so much media in the past. Like he would be great. I was hoping he would be up.
I mean, I didn't mean to fixate on him so much because there's, you know,
you've brought him up four times.
Yeah, there's other stories being told here.
Well, you know, the guy who said the wildest stuff, Steve and Rachel.
Steve. Well, you know, that's the one thing in terms of like the collaborative stuff. I mean, you know, Steve is a huge cinephile. So like when we began this whole journey, you know, the way that most of these movies work is like I cast the movie and I go through a lot kind of longish period of talking to people that end up, you know, maybe we start shooting with them, but we don't actually end up following them through the whole duration of the film, but Steve, I met really early on and I told him, you know, I know you're divorced. You're just starting to become a donor. I want to focus on this. I learned he was a cinephile. And so I bought him Paul Schrader's Transcendental Cinema book and I gave it to him. And every time I'd see him, you know, we basically would watch movies. He's on my HBO account. He's on the Criterion channel. Whoa. And so it's like the man is studying.
Nice. And hey, that's love.
You know, that's an interesting thing. It's like, I kind of relate my life. I love movies because it's sometimes I have issues relating to other people. It's like movies kind of are instructional handbooks of like, this is what you should do, or this is what these characters are doing. And you know, when you go through something similar in your life, you recontextualize stuff. Okay. Yeah. Well, like, and when Harry met Sally, that's how this guy is dealing with this sort of complex relationship with his friend, you know? And that's something Steve kept saying during the course of making the movie. He kept with Rachel. He was like, you know, this is just like when Harry met Sally, when they're friends, but like there's something more here. And I'm like, well,
right.
I don't think there's something more here. I think it's...
He does. There is some unreciprocated affection. And there is, you know, his whole situation with Rachel. There's, you know, there's a scene where he invites her over to watch Mulholland Drive, and there's a, you know, a sexy scene in the movie, and there's a great shot of him kind of looking over like,
it's fascinating to shoot that stuff. Yeah, always. And you know, I think it's like interesting because ultimately what ends up becoming the thing that is like very powerful to me, it's like the reason I love the movie so much is like no matter. Like their relationship starts off in this. I mean, all these relationships are like defined. They're undefined, really. There's no pretext or like blueprint, right, for like how you're supposed to go about giving your sperm to somebody, like, and getting to know them. And for them, yeah. I think they're both just so profoundly lonely that they like. I think the awkwardness or like the unrequited love or like Steve kind of overstepping and expressing feelings that maybe he shouldn't have, and her shutting him down, like. Ultimately, right. that strangeness, that discomfort is like kind of put to the side because she's, you know, she's dying, really. And I mean, so all of us are basically dying. And, you know, she has in some ways like the same life expectancy, like about 8 to 10 years that probably Steve has. So it's like the relationship deepens in this really kind of like beautiful way. It's like even if
and he has a pool,
which he's got a pool.
Didn't hurt. I think the pool kind of really helped that thing build and blossom.
Yeah, that pool was a big. I mean, man, he's got a beautiful, beautiful home. He's in Knoxville, Tennessee. It's a, you know, I don't know if I think that's the birthplace of didn't Quentin Tarantino and Stephen King. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I think both of those guys, they like were born there. Nice place. Tennessee.
That's pretty wild. I've been there on a Greyhound. I took the Greyhound to Knoxville once.
Damn. How was that? Not fun.
It fucking sucked.
Yeah.
It's fucking sucked dick, dude. It's like a 14-hour bus ride from D.C.
People wearing
shoes?
And the
person sitting next to me just like, yeah, the shoes was on, but the person sitting next to me had their ass on me the whole ride. Like, they fell asleep immediately and then just imagine an ass on your arm. For 14 hours.
Oh man.
It's like it's
and then you move like
right there.
Yeah, just
right there in
just
the center.
Attached to wherever. Yeah, just like lined up on my forearm.
You gotta take those. I love those buses. I used to take it all the time from Boston to New York that would go from Chinatown and the drivers would just be speeding. They'd
Oh yeah, no, they're on my God. Meth. That's meth.
Yeah, something. I remember just being like, we should not be going nearly this fast. It's like, I felt like the whole weight of the bus was like, it was lurching, you know, it was like every time we turned, like, I was like, oh. That,
I mean, it's like five bucks.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's like
cheap.
Something.
That's like, safe, you know what I'm saying?
What the name of the bus is? Like Wee Bus? I don't remember. I don't know.
Y'all bus.
Y'all bus, yeah. Fast bus, dangerous bus.
Now, is how much of this is, so this is, you know, different kind of AI, right? Artificial insemination. And there's natural insemination, right? Which is just sex, which, you know, this difference is, you know, that we clarify this early on in the movie. It's just, you know, sex. How much of it is, what's the ratio of like, of cup versus, you know, weird
bang, versus
weird
butt
sex?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, I think it's like different donors do, I think, offer different things. I think it's probably most common in the groups for AI, you know, which is, the artificial insemination. And, you know, I think that's like, to me, it was interesting because the first scene we ever shot was like natural insemination. So I was like, oh my God, is this what, this is the way it normally happens?
Oh,
and
God.
I think over time it was, yeah, it was like, okay, yeah. No, that, I think that was, it happens, but it's a lot less regular than you'd imagine. But, you know, some people really, you know, like Anika in the opening scene, she was like, okay, if you're telling me this is the most effective way to do it, then we're going to do it. And she succeeded. She had her, you know, she had this beautiful child. That scene is so crazy because Anika, the recipient in the scene at the motel, she's credited, you know, when I went and showed her the film and we shot a little bit more with her and Ella, her daughter, she said that, you know, she was thanking us, which was wild, for the birth of her child. You know, she was like, I don't know if this would have happened if you guys weren't there, because maybe the donor wouldn't have showed up, or maybe, you know,
yeah,
something. She's very like spiritual in that way. And so I'm kind of, sometimes when I like go to bed, I'm like, I just play that back. I'm like, no way. That's crazy. Yeah.
It does make sense that somebody like that would have the everything happens for a reason,
yes,
type of,
sure,
attitude.
Yes.
Well, she's
must
fascinating.
Must be happening for a reason.
Yeah. I mean, she's a therapist. You know, she's a very interesting. That's the thing, is like the whole world. And when you think you kind of understand it, when you think you understand somebody or why they're doing it, it you know, it changes all the time, because she's a hyper rational person. And to her, this choice she made was like, you know, she called it like planned happenstance. Like, I don't care who the guy is. I don't care how it's going to go down. I want to try it. Let's see if it works. And it worked. And then she's like, great, I have a beautiful child now. I'm going to be an amazing mom, which she is. And, you know, she believes that like the nurturing is so much more than nature, which I don't know. But fascinating, you know?
Yeah. No, it's, you know, we covered all of the, yeah, Steve, Rachel, Atasha. Yeah, I mean, Atasha is like, that was the most like heart-wrenching stuff for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, know, somewhere between her and Rachel, but definitely Atasha.
Oh, and Rachel. Like, oh, Rachel too. Yeah, of course. Yeah, Rachel.
Honestly, and I don't even be one to give white ladies pub like that, but
yeah,
it's just so sad. She's just so, it's like she's about to die and she's mad lonely,
oh my God,
to the point where she's like, damn,
that
am I really
shot.
Am I about to fuck my dad? And she thought about it for a while. And then Steve's like, yeah, I'd fuck my daughter. Let's get it. Let's go. In no hesitation.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Well, you know, there was some hesitation, but, you know, I think that yeah, you know, it's an interesting, it's like, the tone of the movie is, it was tough to get it right for a while. And I think, you know, because I think, look, every tragedy happens to everybody, right? And I'm sure you guys have gone through your own shit in your lives when things are fucked up. And that's like, it's interesting to be there, to be with people while they're going through it. And, you know, it's sort of the like fucked up part of nonfiction filmmaking or stuff in general. Like, the drama probably keeps you engaged as a viewer. But when you're with somebody and you're making it, it's like, it's you have to be extremely delicate, and there's so much time and trust and discomfort that you have to go through to get to the place where, you know, hopefully you're telling someone's story in the right way and they like it later on. But yeah, Atasha, man, she's amazing. I mean, like, I just, my favorite scene in the movie, one of them, is when she's at the arcade with Tyree, and they're in an argument, and she's like, you need to, you know, she's like,
oh, she's telling them to step up.
Yeah, so she's like,
me.
Yeah,
I'm loving your kids. You need to love your kids.
Yeah, it's
man.
Like you need to do this, that, and the other thing. And she's like, really, just like, she's speaking her mind, and she's very direct with him. And then he says, okay, I'm sorry. And then it's just, they look at each other for like maybe 6 seconds without saying anything to one another. It's just a beautiful moment of like, you know, I don't know, just like love and anger and just like fear. And then just, and then it all kind of washing away. Like, you know, he means it in a way, you know, even if it's hard for him to express emotions. It's
right.
It's a fascinating, yeah, I don't know. It's very beautiful to me.
Yeah. No, I mean,
wonder how she...
Oh, go ahead.
I wonder how she felt about the name Italy. Like, she's obvious. I think she's a great mom. And I think she's going to step up for whoever's kid. It seems like she really has that in her inside of her to do it. But I know she was like, Italy, though.
Yeah, it's an awesome name. Yeah, I mean, look, I think there is a scene that is not in the film, but it was very funny where Tyree's playing billiards with his mom, and she's like, she says the same thing as you. She's like, Italy. She's like, why are they named the child Italy? And then Tyree's like, I don't know. Italy's a stripper's name, is what he says. And sounds like a stripper's name.
It's not.
And he's like, maybe we can change the name to something. And then his mom's like, don't do that. Anyway, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's spelled Italeigh. It's kind of beautiful. It's like Ashley in that way.
Oh, Italy?
Yeah. Italy, you know. Sometimes when we were making the film, I guess like some of the people who were working on it, like,
it's a crazy detail.
My mom, who watched a lot of, you know, she loves to, like, this is her way of remaining close with me, is like, she watches the movie. She gets very upset if I don't share a cut with her. She's not a filmmaker. She's like a lawyer, but she just likes to be involved in my life because I spent so much time doing this. She would call Italy Italy. I think she thought it was Italy, like the restaurant.
Oh, like the chain.
Yeah, and I was like, it's not Italy, it's Italy. It's like you know, the country, but it's spelled a little differently. It's spelled probably a little like Italy, a little bit. But yeah, man.
Seeing it spelled like that would make me say Italy too, though.
Italy. Yeah, no, man, that's interesting. I think they're gonna be great parents. They have a whole, you know. They've dealt with a lot of shit in their lives. I feel like maybe that's what you know, it's like having a kid. You're trying to change something about the way you grew up, or you're trying to change, you know, something about yourselves, and just put it all, your hopes and dreams and your fears, into this person. And that moment where Atasha's like talking to Tyree's stepdaughter on the beach, I don't know how you guys felt about that, but to me, I'm just like, oh man, she's so fucking good at getting just people to open up, like, and it's amazing.
Oh no, like her, it was incredible. No, her like maternal instincts are fucking, it's, yeah. No, she seems like such a, yeah. She has a good soul.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah. Well, folks, you gotta check out Sperm World. It's on. Wait, when does it air? This Friday?
Yeah, it comes. So it's on TV. I think like it's on FX.
Yeah.
This Friday. I don't know what time, and then it's on Hulu on Saturday. So, you know, I think watch it either place.
If I had to guess, 10 p.m. This is a 10 p.m. ski.
I think it's a nine. Yeah, it's a 9-10, something like that. Yeah. I don't know. I don't quote me on it. But you know, if you want to watch it without advertisements, you're which would be my preference,
I will watch it on Hulu.
Watch it on Hulu, but you know, don't. Support FX because they they let us make the movie, which is very nice of them with very little interference.
Yes, and you know, full BGS Film Club stamp of approval.
Yay.
Yeah, check it out. We also want you to check it out as well.
Yeah, well, hey, thank you guys. I appreciate that stamp of approval. No, you got to put it on the damn poster. Yeah, I'll let you tattoo it on me.
I'm going to go around LA with a stamp. I'm making stamp molds now, so I'm going to hook one up.
We got to get you a hat too, Jamel. We got
the Sperm World
hat. They got Sperm World caps?
My Wikipedia now has a photo of me in the Sperm World hat. Because I was talking to Annie. I was like, she was talking to Ari. She was like, they were talking about Wikipedia photos. And I was like, I don't have one of those. She's like, I'll get you one tonight.
Boom.
And so now there's a eternally, you know,
I'm honored.
Immortalized.
We should recreate it in 30 years, man, when you update the picture again. You got to just be taking it again with the Sperm World hats.
Yeah. Got to run it back.
Yeah.
Lance, thank you.
Yeah, and, thank you guys. Folks, thanks for having me on.
Thank you.